The most important test that you do in any time we suspect peripheral nervous system problem is EMG nerve conduction study. So this is kind of the equivalent to getting brain or spinal cord imaging when we're dealing with the central nervous system. Now it's important to keep in mind that nerve conduction studies do not, and even EMG, do not become abnormal right after a lesion in the peripheral nervous system. There is some delay, and that is variable, but generally speaking, at least 5 to 7 days after the onset of the lesion need to pass before we start to see abnormalities on the nerve conduction study and EMG. So that will need to be kept in mind if we're dealing with a situation where we need information right away to help us with the diagnosis or guide the management, then and the symptoms just started within a day or two, then EMG nerve conduction study obviously is not the test that we can rely on at that point. This test consists of two separate parts. They're completely separate. A nerve conduction study assesses the nerves, and the electromyography is when you put the needle in the muscles. The nerve conduction study can be performed alone without an EMG, and you would still be able to get helpful information in certain scenarios. Needle electromyography alone is almost never done because the information will not be complete, and it's hard to interpret the needle EMG without presence of nerve conduction study. There is a technique called repetitive stimulation test that's not a routine part of the EMG nerve conduction study. So this part needs to be specified when we want it to be performed. Repetitive stimulation test is done for only one reason, which is to investigate for neuromuscular junction disorder. Very briefly, the nerve conduction study simply is based on stimulating one point of the nerve and recording from another point. Usually that recording point is distal to the stimulating point. And we always do a pre-measured distance between the recording point and the stimulating point. And if we know the distance, then we can calculate, or obviously the machine, the nerve conduction study machine will calculate the conduction velocity, the amplitude and latency of the electric signal. The nerve conduction study will help us know a lot of information about the conductivity of the nerves from the point of stimulation and more distally. It does not help with anything that, or any lesion that could be more proximal to the stimulating point. If we're stimulating at the wrist and someone has a lesion at the elbow level, then the nerve conduction study will be completely normal because we're stimulating at the wrist and recording from the fingertip, for example. The needle electromyography helps a lot in learning about the muscle, the motor unit action potentials, and if there's any muscle disease. In addition to that, it's very important and critical in assessing the roots disorders, radiculopathy, and the anterior horn cells, motor neuron disease. Keep in mind that those two parts, even plexopathy to a large degree, they cannot be assessed by nerve conduction study. We cannot stimulate these structures because, you know, plexus and roots are very deep, buried inside the neck and inside the chest or pelvis, and anterior horn cells obviously cannot be stimulated. So the when we do the nerve conduction study and that study is normal, meaning the nerves themselves in the arm or the leg are normal, but the needle electromyography still shows signs of denervation in the muscle, that the muscle is not acting properly. these muscle fibers are denervated, that indirectly confirms that this denervation source must be coming from a proximal structure, which is the root or the plexus or the motor in it, the anterior horn cell. Another important concept in the nerve conduction study is which muscles are affected and which nerves are affected. So, for example, if the needle electromyography of multiple muscles is performed in the extremity, and two of these multiple muscles show signs of denervation, both muscles are, let's say one muscle is innervated by the median nerve, the other muscle is innervated by the ulnar nerve, both of them are abnormal, then this could mean that median and ulnar nerves, both of them are affected. However, if both muscles are innervated by, let's say, C7 or C8, for example, radiculopathy or whatever root is that, then that would be the more logical explanation that this must be a radiculopathy rather than both median and ulnar neuropathy at the same time. And the best way to confirm it is to test a muscle that is innervated by a median nerve also, but not by that specific root, let's say not by C8, a muscle that's innervated by median nerve and C6. If this was a median nerve, then this muscle must be abnormal. If this was C8, then this muscle must be completely normal. And that's how we can tell with absolute accuracy through the EMG nerve conduction study, where is the problem in the peripheral nervous system?